Good afternoon, everybody. And good afternoon to those on the webcast also. Like what Dave said, it's a beautiful day out there right now. So really enjoying it and appreciate the creation and everything that God has made and just the sheer beauty that you find not just here but all over the earth. Isaiah 58 is a chapter that, when you look at it from a certain perspective, it really ties a little bit into all of the fall holy days. I'm just going to focus on one verse today as we start leading into the message. If we look at verse 1, and this will be where I will be springboarding, and I'll explain a little bit of the rest of the chapter in a minute, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." So we see a discussion that we are to lift up our voices like a trumpet, which is a reminder of the Feast of Trumpets. As you work your way down through the chapter, starting in verse 3, it talks about fasting. And fasting has its own tie into the Day of Atonement. And then you get down into verse 13, and it's talking about the Sabbath in general. But when we look at the plan of God, we see that there's 6,000 years for man, 1,000 years for God. And that time during the millennium is a Sabbath rest for this earth and for mankind. So we see this chapter can really tie to some point into the fall festivals. But we're only 37 days now from the Feast of Trumpets. Going back up to verse 1, where it says, to lift up your voice like a trumpet, we see that we have a role, that we are to speak, that we are to talk about things, we are to give a message to people. And part of that message is shown in the last part of verse 1. And show my people their transgressions and the house of Judah their sins. So we see a day of trumpets. We see the blowing of a trumpet. And one of the reasons for the blowing of that trumpet is because of the sins of the people. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, it talks about the watchman. And it's two distinct purposes within those two chapters for the watchman. What we are going to do today is we're going to look at those watchmen and the purposes that they were given in what they were to do. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 3. In Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 16, says, "Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me." So here's the purpose of a watchman. The watchman is to give a warning. Let's now go to Jeremiah chapter 6. To expand on this warning just a little bit. In Jeremiah chapter 6, starting in verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, or what way we should be walking. This is the way, walk you in it. And walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they," and that is the people, say, we will not walk in it. We don't want to walk that way. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. Verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. So here again, they're being warned about something. And they're saying, I don't want to walk that way. I don't want to listen to what you are saying. There's a warning being given, but they don't want to hear it. Verse 18, therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts. Interesting phrase there. In the original King James, it says, even the fruits of their thoughts. Now, what are the thoughts of this society today? You know, if one is bad and ten is good, it's somewhere approaching negative infinity. We're seeing a world that is just soaking up evil. And you see, when you go into sin, you start out slowly, and it's like they've dropped off the edge, and it's a free fall now, going into just total unabased sin. But we see even the fruits of their thoughts. Because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. What has this society done? I remember when I started kindergarten, that was the first year they stopped prayer in schools. So those of you who are older than me by a year or two, remember prayer in schools. And you could just gradually see God taking more and more and more out of this society to a point where now, if you look at this nation is essentially atheist. They talk about separation of church and state. And they really pound it to where, quote unquote, religious things are not allowed in certain places. And they're trying to get rid of religious things all places. But in getting rid of religion and anything that has to do with religion within the government, you have now stated a state religion, and that is atheism. That you don't believe there is a God, and that you are, as the general rule, against God. And that is the society we live in today. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 20. Says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Isn't that what we're hearing now? Anything that is a positive, anything that reflects God's way is evil. Anything that reflects Satan's way is good. I mean, you think about when I was a kid, I never would have thought I'd seen anything quite like this in this country. Even as a young adult. But at the rate of acceleration that this society is going, I sit here and think this, I don't see how they could do it. But couldn't you see a time 10, 20 years from now where they could sit there and say, oh, it's illegal for heterosexual marriage? For a man and woman to live together, it's illegal? Couldn't you see a time like that coming? It's possible. I don't know how far this is going to go. None of us know how far this is going to go. The society is going downhill at an increasingly fast rate. Verse 22. verse 21, or continuing 20. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Here again, we have a society, we have a phenomenal increase in knowledge. The message I gave several weeks ago, 200 years ago, they didn't know what an atom was. There were very few people that had an idea of it. They didn't realize how big this universe was. They knew there were galaxies, but that's about a few galaxies. That's about as much as they knew at that point in time. But now we have so much more knowledge. We have so much more understanding in the sciences, in math. We can look back at history when it's still being kept properly and not being hidden because of political correctness. And we can learn those lessons that we need to learn from history. Today I saw something that they were changing the name of a school from Thomas Jefferson to the first black person that graduated from it. I don't remember the name. Now, okay, that deserves a little something. But Thomas Jefferson was probably one of the four greatest presidents, and in my mind may have been the most important person in the time of the Revolution and the building of the Constitution and that, because of the way he thought and his vision for this country. That's my opinion. Other people may say Washington or Franklin or somebody else. But we see this society just, we're gaining in knowledge, but we're losing all semblance of decency. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56, starting in verse 9. All you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. As watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. But notice, his watchmen are blind. They are blind to the truth. They only view from one perspective, and that's from a perspective of evil. Verse 11. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. Looking back at verse 11, and if you're looking at this, we're talking about leaders. This is talking about really leaders. Look at the leadership of this country. And really the leadership of this country for the past 20 years, if not more than that, has been irresponsible. They're in bed with China. China wants to destroy us. They could sit there and call our debt in on us right now and destroy this country instantly. Iran could cause its share of damage, being with the Islamic things that they do there and the things that they have and the hatred that they have from this country going back to the Shah's deposal in 1978 and then taking the hostages for 444 days in 1979 and 80. And the day that Reagan became president, they released him because they knew he wouldn't put up with it. So, I mean, we can go all the way back to Carter and see weak presidents. We can go all the way back to Lyndon Johnson and see weak presidents with the Great Society. But they are more concerned with what they can get and forget the rest of the country. We can become billionaires. We can have insane riches just by being in a leadership spot in politics. Let the rest of the world go down. If what's true, if they say what's in that law that just passed is true, all of our taxes are going to go way up. Our retirements will be in danger because they're possibly going to tax that at a 30% tax rate. We save that for years and years and years, and then you're going to lose a third of it, essentially. There's something wrong with this picture. It shows that this society is continually going downhill, not just in sexual or the hatred in that, but also the leaders. The leaders don't care about the people. They care about themselves. Romans chapter 1. This passage is what we should be crying out about as watchmen. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth, which means you're doing it intentionally. You're not doing it accidentally. That can happen. Somebody can sit there and not have the knowledge. But when you're suppressing something, you are doing something intentionally. But who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We look at this creation. We look at the works of his hands. And we ask, as it says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Because you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with power and glory, and put all things in subjection under his feet. They suppress that. They look at the universe as being something that proves that God doesn't exist. They look at things exactly the opposite. Instead of saying science proves everything, what we should do is the Bible proves it and science reaffirms. It confirms what God says. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. So there's your first thing. They're not thankful. Got a society today that is not thankful for anything anymore. They want more, more, more. The greed is just welling up in this society to a level to where it can't hold up much longer. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You think about that. Professing to be wise. You've got people that claim to be phenomenally wise. But when it comes to the knowledge of God, there's no God. They hate God. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, because they sat there and they're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. They sit there and, I mean, you go back to a Baal, you go back to the gods where they literally would sacrifice their children to those gods. And we do the same thing now. With abortion. We sacrifice our babies to a God that is choice. We want to live this way. This is our choice. We get to do what we want. So they're given up in verse 24 to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they worship everything but what should be worshiped, and that is the Creator. the Almighty God. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. There's, I don't know how many different quote-unquote sexes now, according to society. You've got heterosexual, you've got homosexual, you've got lesbian, you've got bisexual, you've got pansexual. That one I can't figure out. That one just, you've got, there's something like 50-some different names. Now, God created male and female. Genesis 1. Male and female, he created them. Receiving the penalty. I can think of, there's a lot of diseases that originally come from something to do with animals, whether it's eating animals or eating an animal that shouldn't be eaten or whatever. But remember back in 1980 when AIDS first came out, those of us who are old enough, it was passed strictly within the homosexual community. And then after they started having relations with females, and it started going to everybody, but initially it was a homosexually based disease. The same with this monkeypox right now. It is predominantly a homosexually transmitted disease. And you've got COVID. Could that have come from a monkey or some other animal? They say Ebola came from a monkey. So it's the unclean animals doing something improperly with an unclean animal, whether it's eating or whatever, that seems to be starting many of these diseases. And in China, they eat anything. Literally, they will eat anything. Which is why you'd hear about in the Chinese restaurants sometimes some of the things they cook that they shouldn't be cooking here. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. In the Old King James, it's reprobate is the word there. The mind is just so messed up. I read that and it almost tells me that some of the younger people now, because of the way the earth is their minds could actually be like this. That they literally think like this because their minds have become so polluted with all of the negative things in this society today. But reprobate is perverse. It's obscene. I cannot really come up with even a really good word when I picture reprobate. I'll put it that way. Debased comes close, but I don't think it's quite strong enough. To do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness. Notice all of these. There's about 20 of them. Covetousness, wanting something that's not yours. Maliciousness. You see, saw a video of a guy just walk up to a guy the other day and just wham. And the guy's in a coma. He shouldn't have been out of jail because he had been picked up for something else a few days before and they'd let him out because of their no bail policy in New York City. So evil is good. As long as you don't kill somebody, you can go and commit crime all you want. What type of society is that? Full of full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. We see murder rates up 20, 30% in a lot of the cities in the past few years. Some cases more. Evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. What a list! That is everything that Satan is. Verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, as we all are, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God looks at this society, and this, I look at this and I say, it's got to be like the time of Noah. It has to be. You can't see where it can get much worse, short of them saying, oh, it's legal to kill Christians. Passing a law to say, okay, if a person is a Christian, you can kill them. I mean, I'm sure there's things that I haven't thought of. And I'm glad in certain respects I don't think of them. So we see these are the things that as a watchman we need to be trumpeting about. Telling the world, you are sinning, you are an evil society. And unless you change, there are going to be a lot more problems. And that gets into part two. Going back to Ezekiel 3, before we get into part two. Picking up in verse 18. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. We've been called to be watchmen. If we don't warn this world, their blood is on our hands. Continuing. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You've done what your part. We have gotten that message out, that warning message out, that you are sinning, you are committing evil in the eyes of God. Change. Go back to God and he will open up his arms to you. Truly repent, truly change. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Same thing with the person who was the sin, the wicked person. Same result. We can have that within the church. That's why you have warning messages. There are times that we sit there and talk about, okay, we should not be committing adultery and get into the detail. We should not be stealing. We should not be bearing false witness. We should honor our parents. We shouldn't be swearing. We shouldn't use God's name improperly. And it's good to hear those messages because it reminds us. And we're able to then, oh, I've been messing up with that. And then we can go and truly repent and change. Verse 21, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, He shall surely live because he took warning, and you also will have delivered your soul. So here again, if you give that warning, and they heed the warning, they're safe. And you're not going to have his blood on you because you have given the warning and you've actually helped that brother to realize what he is doing and help him to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and grow toward the perfection and the perfect, holy, righteous character that we strive to have, that the Father in Christ have. Now with that, we go into part two, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy. I'm going to initially just focus on one verse. We'll come back here in a few minutes. In verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. So we have a job to do. We have a good message, a message of good news, of good tidings that we are to be preaching, that we are to be trumpeting as a watchman. Let's go back now to Ezekiel chapter 33. Keep your fingers in Matthew. In Ezekiel 33, verse 1, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. That's a little bit of a different case. They're taking a person from the land and he is being designated as their watchman. But notice what it said, when I bring the sword upon a land. So this is a time of war. Now if you look at Matthew 24 in combination with that, we're preaching a message of good news. But to get to the point where that really becomes good news, what do we have to go through? We have to go through a war, right? We have to go through the tribulation. And everything that's leading up to that tribulation. We will be going through this. And we also need to be warning the people of that upcoming time of war, but also the time after that. The millennium. A time of peace, a time of love, and giving them that message, that good news that Christ will come down to this earth and he will rule and you will see how this earth really should be. Going back to Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, this is something I view two ways. I don't know if too many people do. The most obvious way of viewing this is that there are people that sit there and say, yes, he is Christ. But you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. You don't have to keep the holy days. You don't have to only eat clean meats. You can go to church on Sunday. You can keep Christmas and Easter. You can eat whatever you want. Going back to what we had just a few minutes ago, it's because of the eating whatever you want that's causing the diseases. But then the other side of this, and you don't see this one as often, there are a few people out there that they sit there and say, I am Christ. Meaning, whomever their name is, I'll guarantee you, I am not Christ. I can dogmatically, definitively guarantee it. I'm sure Susie can sit there and dogmatically and definitively agree with that 100%. But there are people out there that claim, that have claimed in the past, that they are Jesus Christ. And you look at, for example, Jim Jones. He may not have literally claimed he was Christ, but boy, he deceived a bunch of people and had them take the Kool-Aid. I mean, you see, I can see this both ways. I think it's more the first way by far than the second way, but I do think there is a little bit of the dynamic in the second way in the scripture. And they will deceive many. There are billions that go to other churches that they claim they're Christian. But do they do what Christ asks them to do? That becomes the big question. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. I think everyone knows about Ukraine. Ukraine's actually doing a little bit of a counteroffensive right now. You don't hear much about Ukraine anymore, do you? There's too many other things going on. The war of Ukraine just kind of slid off to the side. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now, has anyone in here heard about what's happening in a part of Ethiopia? For about almost 2 years, they have cut off food from that part of Ethiopia, so the only food they can get is essentially what they're able to grow around them, destroying it. And these people are starving to death. The breadbasket of Europe can't get their food out because of the war. We're running into food shortages here. In California, they're cutting down a lot of like the almond trees and other trees because they can't get enough water to keep them alive. They're cutting their crops down in many of the places, more of the fruit and vegetable crops by half or more, because they can't get enough water, because the drought is so bad there. And not only is the drought bad there, but in China, southern China, they're having a very bad drought. There are various places in Europe they're having a drought. There's various places where they're not getting enough rain right now. You look back with where God at multiple times withheld rain. And he talks about in Zechariah 14, where if the land of Egypt will not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, there will be no rain. Elijah stayed down by the brook Kidron for 2 years being fed by ravens because there was no rain. And then after that, he went up to the widow who had her last meal, and he said, make mine first. And she kept being replenished with enough food for them to survive from day to day until the battle with the prophets of Baal about a year and a half later. Earthquakes in various places. Having earthquakes in Oklahoma is kind of odd. There's no fault lines in Oklahoma. Having earthquakes in North Dakota is kind of odd. There's no fault line there. Now, New Madrid, there is a fault line. You have volcanoes. The one in Tonga, they said that may have been the biggest eruption, bigger than Krakatoa. The biggest eruption in several hundred years. So we see this earth is being prepared for the return of Christ. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Doesn't that sound like the society today? They'll betray, people will betray other people just on a wink. Just because you're not, quote-unquote, politically correct. There was a case a couple of years ago that there was a store down in Bellbrook, I think it was. And they sell high school stuff for the high schools in the region. And somebody posted something on Facebook, and it was essentially, it was a pro-Christ thing they posted, and a group of people sat there and started trying to shame them and started picketing in front of the place trying to shut it down. Just because they made one post on Facebook. That's ridiculous. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, will be trumpeted, if you want to put it into that term, in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we have a message that we need to get out. Mark chapter 13. Now, within this message, there are certain things that we need to keep in mind. Verse 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch. Part of the job of a watchman is to watch, right? Take heed, watch, and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Is it in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning? Essentially, everything's covered there. You've got essentially about sunset, middle of the night, first initial breaking of the sun, of the light in the sky off to the east, and then the morning. You pretty well have the entire day covered. He can come at any time, any day, any place. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. We are the watchmen. We need to be looking at the world events, and we need to be able to see what's going on, to see the prophecies that potentially are being fulfilled right now, so that we can, as individuals, as a church, get the proper message out to the world. Luke 21:36 says, watch therefore and pray always. The prayer is a part of getting that message out. Pray to open the doors so that the message can get out. Online, through TV, through radio, through publication. And that the message gets to the people that it needs to get to at this time. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 1, but concerning the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, as we just saw in the previous passages. For when they say peace and safety, now there aren't really a lot of wars going on right now that are openly talked about. There are several, but they're not really openly talked about, and a lot of the ones that are going on right now are more of a civil war than they are a nation against nation war. Then sudden destruction comes upon you as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Going back to the passage where we talked about that they're claiming darkness is light. We are not in darkness. We are in light. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We have to watch this seriously. The best that we can follow things. I mean, you have a news media now that likes to hide certain things and overemphasize other things. So what you end up with is you don't really know what the truth is. And then you have two extremes on the spectrum. And generally, when you have something like that, the truth falls somewhere close to the middle. Not always. But you find the truth falls somewhere. It's not way over at one end of the spectrum. It's not way on the other end of the spectrum. You know, the Democrats right now are trying to push that anyone who's a Republican or anyone who's a conservative is a Nazi-loving person. I was trying to be careful exactly what word I used there. And I mean, it's the same the other way. Even though there's only a very few people that are so far right that you could consider them in that side of the spectrum, just like on the left, there's only a few people way on the other side. And they're the 1% that you hear about 99% of the time. The 1% on the far right and the 1% on the far left. You can't count on what they say. The truth has to fall somewhere in between. First Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. But it says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Beat them fine. When the sacrifices were given, they were, you had fine dust that was, it was like a dust, a fine dust that was given with the incense. It was beaten fine. Our prayer should be that way also. Detailed, as much detail as we know. There are a lot of times we don't know one-tenth of what's going on, but we know something's going on, so we can just say even a quick prayer to please heal somebody or take care of them or give them comfort. You may not know the details, you just know it's needed. And sometimes God will just put that in your head. That's when it gets interesting. All of a sudden you start thinking about somebody and you say a quick little prayer and then you find out later on that they were going through something right then. God works with us. God guides us. His Spirit guides us. It's combined with our spirit. Romans 8. That we are sons, that we are children of God. And then if heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let's go back to Ezekiel 33. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we saw that the focus of that watchman was on sin and on evil and repent and change. This watchman in Ezekiel 33 has a different focus. Picking up in verse 3, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. Doesn't that sound very familiar to Exodus 3, or Ezekiel 3, excuse me, where it says if they heard the warning and did not change, and did not repent, and did not change, their sin is on their head. Same thing here. If you hear the trumpet and do not take the warning, Your blood is on your head because you didn't take the warning seriously. But he who takes warning will save his life. End of verse 5. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Seeing we are getting a message out as the message of a watchman. The message of the good news of the kingdom of God, but before that we have to go through a time of tribulation. And that time of tribulation is because of the evil that this society has had and just seems to be abounding in more and more and more. We have a job. We have a work to do. There are those out here there who are actually the official spokesmen. They are the ones that are getting the message out. But we all have our little part. You've noticed many times it is said with prayer. Our prayer is to help them get that message out and that the people hear it that need to hear it. That prayer to warn the people of what's coming. That there is a time of great tribulation such as the world has not ever seen or ever will. And unless that time should be shortened, there will be no flesh saved alive. But for the elect's sake, it says, those days will be shortened. We have a role. We are a part of this watchman as this church. We have a message we are getting out about the kingdom of God and what is coming. By doing that message, taking care of that message in the ways that we take care of it, whether it's financially, through prayer, through actually doing that work, through the speaking or any other method that is needed, we do our part as that watchman. And we know we're trying to help this world. But we are getting our part out and warning this world about what is coming, not just in the shorter future with the tribulation, but also the joy and the happiness that will be after that when Christ returns and over a period of time makes this earth into what it needs to be. And that is a part of our watchman message too. Is to get out the good news of the kingdom of God.